Well, one of the main findings of the report is that the cocaine market globally is expanding. We have been seeing record high production of cocaine and also increase in the use of cocaine in some of the major markets. And we are seeing also some region emerging as a new cocaine market. So we see the threat of the future that where non-traditional markets, particularly in Asia and in Africa, if the speed of how cocaine is entering these markets, initially as a transit regions, but then they can cement and then become part of the drug use habit of that regions. So potentially this can lead to more millions of people using cocaine. The expansion of the global market is a result of two main factors. From one side, in Europe, that is one of the largest cocaine market in the world, more organized crime groups are entering the cocaine markets and going directly to the source, to the Colombian groups, to the Mexican groups to buy cocaine. And this has increased the competition and so has made in Europe cocaine cheaper. And that has increased, or started to trigger an increase also in the use. On the other side, from the source side, particularly in Colombia, that is remain the country where most of the cocaine is produced. What happened is that after the dismantling of the FARC, a series of new groups and really a multiplication of criminal groups have emerged and established in that territory, and that has triggered an increase in the production. And so is this combination of factors in a way that almost at the same time, we have seen an increase on the use, particularly in Europe, and then that then an increase in production. And now this all is feeding into a vicious cycle of more production, more use, and that's where we see basically that there is really an abundance of cocaine globally.
Why do you think, you know, both production and demand for cocaine have grown so fast? Do you think COVID-19 had anything to do with it? What are some of your thoughts?
Well, the COVID-19 had some disruptive effect, but something in a very short time, both at the source and at the transit. So at the source, we have seen that particularly, for example, in Peru, the lockdowns had prevented some of the traffickers to access the cultivation and the production sites. And so the coca leaves that were produced were not being able to be sold. And so all of a sudden, the price of coca leaf went down. And so there was a bit of a shortage in a way of the production because traffickers could not reach production site. But this really lasted just a few months. And then it returned to, you know, accessibility and use as before. Where we see also actually a tangible impact also, again, just on a short term, is also in Brazil. You know, Brazil is one of the main transit countries for cocaine that goes from the producing side through Brazil to Europe and either directly or through West Africa. And in Brazil, basically, we see that the cocaine enter the market, so enter Brazil, but the groups were not able to organize the shipments and you know, the delivery to reach other continents. And so you see that probably there has been an increase in the supply within Brazil before then the old COVID, in a way, also the groups overcame the COVID, the situation with the restrictions. And so until then, cocaine restarted again to flow from Brazil to other continents, there has been probably for about a year more cocaine inside. And what we have seen is also that during the same time, a sharp increase of deaths relating to cocaine use in Brazil. So that really, yeah, that suggests that in a way the impact of COVID has been in making also cocaine in a way more harmful in transit countries like Brazil. But overall, after a year or so of the COVID, basically the cocaine as a market has started to function and, you know, smoothly going from production to destination before COVID.
And I guess you mentioned Africa briefly, but you said that there's a bit of a concern about the huge growth in demand in Africa and Asia. Why do you believe that's likely to happen?
Well, for Africa is because clearly, and particularly Western Africa, has been increasingly used by traffickers as a transit from the producing countries, you know, from Colombia, Peru, Bolivia, often through Brazil, but not only, also through the south, what we call the southern route. So through, for example, Panama and Paraguay waterway, going transit West Africa to go to Europe. And so the transit there is always the risk that if you have a huge transit of cocaine, then at a certain point, some will stay. And we start seeing the increase of the people accessing treatment in Africa for cocaine. And so as a sign that cocaine may also affect in the local markets, and so increasing the use. And in Africa, where, is the region probably most vulnerable in terms of the gaps in treatment and prevention services. So the worry is that if cocaine really establishes a local market, then really that's, increase the harm to the people of Africa. In Asia is we see some of cocaine in the last few years, little by little also reaching destination in Asia. The issue in Asia is that the price of cocaine is much higher. If you sell cocaine in the United States on Europe, you have a certain price in Asia, and later on Australia, New Zealand, etc., the price is higher. So the Asia market is a very lucrative choice for traffickers. And so the worry is that it will push more going toward Asia. And again, Asia is where most of the people live in the world. And so even a short and a very small increase in the percentage means a massive increase in terms of the number of people. And that's where we see cocaine emerging, particularly among the most affluent population. And in a region where the number of people that can afford more also expensive drugs like cocaine is increasing. So again, that's the risk that then can become a large destination market for cocaine.
Now let's talk a bit about, some solutions or strategies or recommendations. So what are some of the evidence-based strategies or solutions that, you're recommending governments try to cut demand and sort of curb supply?
The evidence shows that the cocaine problem is a transnational, transatlantic, transcontinental problem. And so that can be resolved only with there is international cooperation. So cooperation among the countries, first of all, in sharing the information, the intelligence and the data to ensure that what the country cannot see, because it's only, only a part of the whole big network, can be seen together with the other countries, so that every country is more equipped once it has information from all the other countries in the supply chain to understand how to address the problem. The other one is to address and start particularly in those emerging markets, the Asia, the Africa, since we are still at the beginning, in order to prevent that this become the bigger problem, to really invest in prevention and evidence-based prevention. And then, of course, work on the treatment. So once people get trapped into the dependence of the drug, again, evidence-based treatment. So those treatments that have proven to be working. And so we have international standards for treatment that can be followed. And then overall also to work with the police, with customs services, to see how the cocaine can be stopped before it reaches the destination. And also work with farmers, providing alternatives to farmers so that they don't see coca as the source of their livelihood, but that we can provide community-based solutions where, again, farmers can find alternatives.
Thinking about the sort of, you know, transcontinental pathway. And so how do you think cocaine trafficking has changed? And what are some of the observations that you have about the link, you know, with organized crime? And more generally, you know, are there some different patterns you're seeing? What are some thoughts on that?
In terms of the groups, of how organized crime groups are managing the cocaine business, you know, we have moved from I wouldn't say monopoly, but with the control of the business, particularly this transatlantic business between Latin America and Europe, dominated by very few groups, and particularly the Italians group. Now the landscape of organized crime groups is much more complex, with more groups entering, you know, benefiting, and also in a very business-like way. And so, you know, groups that manage logistics, and they may manage the logistics for more than one group. So they may not control, they don't control the drug per se, but they may manage a piece of the transportation. And so the way how criminal groups have organized the cocaine business now is really as parallel to the illicit business, where you know you find opportunistic way of associating and find partners that they can manage a piece of the supply chain in a way that the risk is limited and the profits are maximized. So that has been really a transformation. And some of this transformation has some price. I mean, for example, we see in Ecuador where local groups that have been in a way just managing four bigger groups like the Mexican and the Colombian groups, the whole supply chain, now wanted to take more responsibility and more control. And so we see a lot of violence, so an increase in violence in some parts of Ecuador. Also, the modus operandi continues to change as any trafficking. And so now there is really, in the last few years, a lot more maritime trafficking, and also with very diverse ways of operating, from big containers where often the shipping company may not even be aware that they are transporting cocaine, but rely more on the connection with people in ports that will be able to identify the right container and, you know, and extract the cocaine before the container goes through control, for example, but even to small vessels and or a combination of big ship and then transport and gives and divide the cocaine shipment into smaller vessels that enter ports. It's always a continual change in the way how traffickers operate. And that's why it's very important that as an international community, we are able to exchange that real-time information to the countries to really understand how to address the trafficking.